ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम। ओम सदा शिव समारंभां शंकराचार्य मध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्तां वंदे गुरु परंपरां श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं वशकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम। ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। ओम आप्यायन्तु ममांगानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मामा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् अस्तु। स्नेमयि सन्तु
देवयि सन्तु।
ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। दि शान्ति मन्त्र चाण्टिङ्ग् इट् सेल्फ् ईस् फार् रिमूवल् आफ् आब्स्टकल्स् अण्ड् फारेस्ट् to have the clear vision of the teaching. So, let us not chant the Shanti Mantra improperly. Let us chant it properly. Om Aapyayantu Mamangani Vak Pranas Chakshushrotramatho Balamindriyani Cha Sarvani Sarvam Brahmopanishadam माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मामा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु। तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। We have completed in Kena Upanishad the important definitions of Brahman in the mantra number 2 and 3. And now we have entered into the fourth mantra. And in that fourth mantra, before we go to the mantra, we are seeing Shankara's Bhashyam, which is an introduction to the fourth mantra. Shankara's Bhashyam begins with an introduction to the fourth mantra. That means what? Before he enters into the commentary, before he starts commenting upon the fourth mantra, He introduces the fourth mantra. And what does he say in his introduction? And he assumes a Purva Pakshi being there. And who is the Purvapakshi? The Purvapakshi is the one, it's like one student who listens to the teacher's class. And what is the student listening to now? We have to remember the meaning, the explanations of the second and the third mantras. The student has heard the teacher's unfoldment of the second and the third mantras. Or the second, the student has heard the teacher's second and the third mantras, wherein the definition of Brahman is given. And that definition of Brahman really revealed the fact that the Brahman is that which is neither the known nor the unknown. It's different from the known and the unknown. And that which is different from the known and the unknown is that which is different from the object. And that which is not the object must be only the subject. The subject is the knower, and the knower is I, the Atma. Therefore, Brahman is Aham. Aham Brahma Asmi. That definition helped him to understand that Brahman is none other than the Atma. So, Atma Brahma or Aham Brahma Asmi. That is the lesson he supposed to have understood from the teacher in his two verses. Final conclusion. So when he heard that definition of Brahman, Anya deva tad viditad athaha aviditad adhi ityanena vakyena atma brahma iti pratipaditaha pratipadite shrotuhu asankha jata. Naturally, the doubt rises in the mind of a student. Okay, this Shankara assumes that there must be a student, and in his mind this doubt must have risen. What's the doubt? Katam aham Brahma. How can I be the Brahman? How can the self be Brahman? Why? The answer he got, the definition of Brahman given in the previous mantras were, was that Atma is Brahma. Therefore, the definition states Atma is Brahma. Therefore, but he is natural for him to have that doubt. Then, and the student, when the doubt comes, and what is the reason for the student to have that doubt? There must be some reason why he has such doubt. How can Atma be Brahman? Therefore, that Shankara himself presents in his Bhashya. Atma, the self, the I, actually, what now actually, Atma is Nama, Atma Nama. The individual is the one who is said to be eligible and qualified for performing rituals and actions. And he is a samsari. And for his sake also, what? No, there is upasanam also prescribed in the Upasana Kanda. So Karma Kanda prescribes lots of rituals. And Upasana Kanda prescribes meditative techniques. For what? For every individual, every jivatma, to perform those rituals, thereby invoke the grace of Bhagavan, invoke the devatas, grace of devatas, and then to benefit by those rituals as a worship. Similarly, meditation also is for what? Meditation also is prescribed for accomplishing certain meditation practiced along with the karma, will bless him with the better results and higher results in terms of going to higher lokas, etc. Upasana also has been prescribed by the same Karma Kanda in the Upasana section. And then That is why what now every individual also, because Veda prescribes karma and upasanam, and Veda talks about the karma phalam and upasana phalam, and every individual is inspired actually, like our advertisements, how they inspire us to go and buy stuff from the shops like IKEA. Okay, we do not know, we won't have developed disease also. And Veda talks about all sorts of karmas, and if you perform this ritual, you will get this phalam. If you perform this ritual, you will get this phalam. If this benefit, you will enjoy. If you practice this meditation, you will enjoy this benefit. And if you practice this ritual and this practice this meditation also, you will have the special result. Like that, Veda, Karma Kanda, the Veda itself, Atimata herself, really teaches us lots of things. And really, and inspires us to do karma and upasanam. And whom do we worship when perform rituals? Whom do we worship? We worship the devatas. We worship the Lord. And who worship? We meditate upon devatas. That means the worshipped devatas, meditated devatas are different from the Atma. Different from the self, different from the jivatma. The meditator is the jivatma. Meditated are the devatas. Therefore, the worshipped are the devatas. One who worships is an individual with lots of aspirations to go to Brahmadi lokas. Brahmadi devan swargam va praptam icchati. The devaha, the jivaha, who performs rituals and who practices meditation, really, praptam icchati. He wants to attain what? Swargadi, lokan. He wants to attain Brahmadi lokan. He wants to attain different lokas. He wants to attain the status of being Brahmaji, Indra, different status also. How? And this different pleasure, the higher things. So he wants to really attain. That is why Karma Kanda prescribes all those things. Arrive at the conclusion, when the Veda prescribes all those things, when the Jiva also has all those desires to accomplish those pleasures, it is natural then the Brahma must be those worshipped devatas. Brahman must be those in meditated devatas. Therefore, what is the conclusion, the student's conclusion? Tasmat, therefore, we'll go to that particular line. We are still in a part of the Bhashyam which discusses the student's mind, the Purupakshi's mind, who has a doubt, how can Atma be the Brahman? Tasmat, therefore, why therefore here? Because the student says, Veda's Karma Kanda prescribes rituals and upasanam, meditation. And Veda itself says, perform these rituals, meditate upon these devatas. And therefore every individual also, jiva also, wants to perform those rituals, wants to meditate upon devatas in order to enjoy the benefits promised by the Veda. Such as attainment of Brahma Loka or Swarga, other Lokas. Therefore, what is student's conclusion? Therefore, Anyaha Upasyaha. Upasyaha means the Devata who is worshipped and meditated upon is what now? Is Brahman, must the Upasya Devata must be Brahman, who is different from the Jiva. Different from the Jiva. Anyaha, Upasyaha, Anyaha. From whom? Upasakat. From the one who meditates upon the Devata. Upasya Deva, isn't it? Upasyaha, the Devata is different. And like what he also says, and so many Devatas are there, Vishnu, Ishwaraha, Indraha, Pranaha, Va, Brahma Bhavitum Arhati. Therefore, those he enumerates some of the names of devatas. Vishnu, Ishwaraha, you know, Indraha, Pranaha. Here Vishnu, here we have to understand Vishnu, Virat, Ishwaraha, Ishwaraha, Viradupasana, and Indraha, Indra, king, the Lord of Devas, then Pranaha, Hiranyagarbha, Va. So any one of these devatas, either Virat or Hiranyagarbha or Ishwara or Indra, any one of these devatas, whom we meditate upon, you know, or who we invoke, whose grace we invoke by performing rituals. These devatas must be, what now? Brahma bhavitum arhati. They must be, what now? One of the devatas must be Brahman. Natu Atma. Then not the Atma. Is it clear? And he says, why? Loka Pratyaya Virodhat. Loka Pratyaya Virodhaha means what? Loka Pratyaya means actually the view. Loka Pratyaya Virodhaha means what now? This Atma is Brahman, or Atma is Brahman, that statement, that definition contradicts the general view of the majority of the people in the society. Loka Pratyaya means what now? In the world, majority of the people, if we ask them, is the Lord me or is the Lord separate from me? If we ask, the whole world will come and vote for which one. They will say Lord is different from the one, the worshipper. The worshipped Lord, the invoked Lord, whose grace is sought, vomited upon, that Lord is, Brahman is, different from the worshipper. Majority of the people will only say that. Loka Pratyaya Virodhat. That means what? The general view, general public view. This definition of Brahman given by the Acharya in the second and third verses contradicts the general view of the public. And not only that, it also contradicts this same Vedic, what now, instructions in the Karma Upasana Khandas. That means what? Veda converts the non-objectifiable, non-object Brahman, isn't it? An object. And then not only that, I told last class, hope you remember the last class lesson, that this Nirvisesham Brahma, isn't it? Nirvisesham Brahma, Nirgunam Brahma is converted into what now? Sagunam Brahma, Saguna Ishvara. And then the Lord which is object is made what now? Now object also. So the two compromises Veda does. For what? That's why I told you last class another verse also. Okay. Hope you remember that verse. Because initially our minds are not sharp enough to grasp the subtlest fact that Aham Brahma Asmi. So in order to prepare our minds, make our minds sharp enough, adequately sharp enough to appreciate this fact. And initially, Veda converts its non-subject, is a non-objectifiable Brahma as an object, and Nirvisesham Brahma as a Sagunam Brahma, in order only for the sake of helping the minds to become sharp. The actual aim of the Veda is not to keep the human jivas as ever as worshippers and meditators. Isn't it? The aim is to help them to arrive at the fact wherein the meditation, worship and prayer, everything will culminate. Therefore, now, this student who is talking here, he says Veda itself presents a karma and upasanam. And it also, this view contradicts what now? View, the general public view also contradicts this definition. Second point. And then now he says, not only the general ordinary people, he says what now? Even other philosophers, the logicians, the tarkikaha, nayayikaha, vaiseshikaha, yoga, people of yoga philosophy. So all of them also what now? Really contradict this. This very statement contradicts even people of other schools of thought. Yatha, he says, yatha, say no?
Yatha.
Anye,
anye.
Tarkikaha.
Tarkikaha.
Ishwarat anyaha.
Ishwarat anyaha.
Atma.
Atma.
Iti.
Iti.
Achakshate.
Achakshate.
Yatha, not only the ordinary people, not only this definition of Brahman contradicts the view of ordinary people. Also, the thinkers, the people who are given to other philosophies, other schools of thought, such as tarkikaha, anye tarkikaha, tarkashastrajnaha, the logicians also. Ishwarat anyaha atma iti achakshate. They also achakshate means declare. They declare what? Achakshate is a plural verb. Plural verb, okay? If you want to, for information, grammar information, the root is chash, okay? Chakshadhatuhu. The verb is chashte, a is a prefix. A chashte, a chakshate, a chakshate. A chashte, a chakshate, a chakshate. A chakshate, atmanepadam, plural verb. There is no nakaranta. Because gachati, gachanti is so used to nakara, there is no na here. That is why a chashte, a chakshate, a chakshate. It's a plural. So, let, present tense verb. Okay. Present tense plural. So, what he says, achakshate, who achakshate, who declare tarkikaha? Not only ordinary people, even tarkikaha achakshate, even logicians, people of all schools of thought differ. In Vedanta, Vedantic view. Isharat anyaha atma. This self, the jiva, the in self is different from Brahman, anyaha, iti achakshate. And not only those people, tatha karminaha. Just as tarkikaha say that Lord is different from the jiva, also karminaha. Karminaha means mimamsakaha. Mimamsakaha. Mimamsakaha means what now? Karminaha, karmakandinaha, mimamsakaha. They again, there's a difference. They're all not atheists, those who do not accept Veda. People who accept the Veda as pramanam, astikaha, but who do not accept this definition of Brahman. So there are people who do not accept Veda at all. Atheists, avaidikaha, like Buddhists and Jains. Okay, leave them. They're all offshoots of Hindus, but still, avedikaha, non-Vedic, vaidikaha means, those who do not accept Veda as a pramanam. But these people, this nayayikaha, vaiseshikaha, tarkikaha, they all accept Veda as a pramanam. They're vaidikaha. But they're all from different schools, people of different schools of thought, different views they have. So, this tarkikaha, logicians accept Ishvara, concept of Ishvara. But, they do not accept Atma being, what now? Jiva being Ishvara. And karminaha, these mimamsakaha, they do not accept Ishvara. They only accept devatas, different deities, and different deities. The pantheism, isn't it? So different deities they believe, like Indra, Varuna, different natural phenomena being invoked as devatas, they believe. So Karminaha, they also, what do you say? Come on, worship this Devata, worship this Devata and get this benefit. Karminaha, Mimamsakaha, who do not believe Ishvara but who believe in Devatas, okay? Those people also, Amum Yaja, Amum Yaja, Amum Yaja, may you worship this Devata, may you worship this Devata. Iti, Anyaha Yeva Devataha Upasate. They also worship and meditate upon different Devatas only. So those Devatas are not the, okay, let me what now, the worshipped, meditated upon Devatas are different from the Jiva, the worshipper, the meditator. Okay, therefore, the people of yoga philosophy, people of Nyaya philosophy, Tarka philosophy, you know, all of them, Vaiseshikaha, all of them differ in their view of Atma being Brahman. Why the student is not a totally ignorant student? Because he is exposed to different schools of thought also. It is natural for him to, for that doubt to come. Isn't it? Tasmat, therefore, yuktam. Therefore, it is appropriate to say what? Yad viditam upasyam tad brahma bhavet. Tataha anyaha upasakaha iti. What is the student's conclusion? Therefore, yuktam, it is appropriate to say, what is that? Yad viditam upasyam tad brahma. Okay, upasyam, that Brahman, which is known, which is meditated upon, which is worshipped. The worshipped, meditated Brahman, is it? And what now? Bhavet tat, tataha anyaha upasakaha. The meditated, worshipped Devata alone must be Brahma. And who is different from the Upasakaha? Tataha Anyaha Upasakaha. Upasakaha Jivaha is different from the worshipped Devata. And the Devata is Brahman. It is appropriate to say the worshipped Devata is Brahman. The reality. And the worshipper Upasakaha is different from that Brahman. Okay? Okay. Now, iti. So, the iti. So, now where tat katham atma brahma, from there onwards, till Upasakaha iti, till then, it's all what? The student's doubt. And an explanation for his doubt. From where? Ashanka jata, afterwards. Tat katham tu atma brahma. So from there onwards. Upasakaha iti. Tasmad yuktam tad viditam upasyam tad brahma bhavet. Tataha anyaha upasakaha iti. You want to read after me? See the last one. Tasmad, you know?
Tasmad.
Yuktam.
Yuktam.
I found the proper line. Okay. Tasmad yuktam.
Tasmad yuktam.
Yad.
Yad.
Viditam.
Viditam.
Upasyam.
Upasyam.
Tad brahma bhavet. So, viditam upasyam tad brahma bhavet. That Brahman must be the meditated, worshipped Devata. Tataha anyaha. Tataha anyaha. From that meditated object of worship, the Devata. What now? Different from anyaha. Different. Okay? From that meditated object, Devata, anyaha upasakaha, the meditator or the worshipper is different. So there ends what? The student's doubt and the reason for his doubt and his explanation for his doubt. Finished? Okay, now we enter into the new thing. Tam etam ashankam.
Ashankam.
Okay. This doubt. Tam etam ashankam means ashanka means doubt. Tam etam ashankam. That doubt. Which doubt? The doubt which has been presented now with the explanation for the doubt also, reason for the doubt also. That doubt, Shankara assumed, understood. Maybe, what does it mean? Upalakshya, we'll see that. Sishya Lingena. Sishya Lingena, you know. Somehow the Sishya must have felt, Sishya Linga means some clue. Okay? Seeing the condition of the student in the class. Okay? Sishya Lingena. Seeing some behavior of the student in the class, or maybe the student voiced his doubt, or he didn't voice his doubt, or non-verbal communication, maybe he wanted to do something like this, I don't know what he did. Sishya Lingena, but now seeing some clue he got from the student's non-verbal or verbal, or maybe some sort of, isn't it? Maybe some sort of facial expression. Seeing something, Shankara, what now? Understand? Seeing that. Lingena upalakshya. Upalakshya means what now? Upalakshya means understanding, figuring out the doubt, figuring out such a doubt might have arisen in the student's mind. Shankara is a great teacher, isn't he? Figuring out such doubt in the mind of a student and seeing his very position in the class. Sishya Lingena Upalakshya. What? Tam Yetam Ashankam. This doubt. Okay. So, understanding this doubt in the mind of a student, by some clue he got from the student. Lingam means clue. By some clue he got from the student, he understood the student's doubt in his mind. Tam etam ashankam sishya lingena upalakshya. Okay, upalakshya. Upalakshya means having assumed, having understood, having figured out. Okay. Tadvakyat ah. Tadvakyat va ah. Well, he says no. Okay. Ma evam shankishtaha. Ma evam shankishtaha. Maivam shankishtaha. In fact, you have to be very careful here. Ma, the teacher says now, okay? Shankara in his Bhashyam writes that the teacher assumed the doubt in the mind of a student. Therefore, the teacher himself continues with this fourth verse after his definition of Brahman in two other verses. Okay, the teacher continues his teaching with this fourth verse, understanding the doubt in student's mind. Understand? After he had given that definition. Who says this? Shankara says in his Bhashyam. As introduction to that fourth verse. And what he says? Ma evam sankishtaha. Ma. May you not. Evam in this manner. In which manner? As said above. Okay? The whole world is against this view. And all the philosophers are against this view. Only Vedanta says this. He presents this view. This is the teacher's explanation of the mantra. And second thing, what? And the whole Karmakanda presents Devatas and Ishvara. Okay, why should we worship first devatas outside? Why should you invoke they meditate upon this outside? And now why Veda says this? Okay, therefore, this doubt might come. Therefore, he says what now? In this manner, you might have thought, you must be thinking, the doubt must have come in your mind. But if at all if you don't have a thought, well and good. If you have any thought, doubt at all, may you not give room for such a thought, such a doubt. Ma evam sankishtaha, maivam sankishtaha. Say now, maivam sankishtaha. So here, in fact, I want to tell you here, the sankishtaha is actually lung aorist past. Okay? What happened? Asankishtaha is the verb. Akara has been dropped here, lopa. Therefore, what now? Ma asankishtaha has been presented as ma sankishtaha. You have to write what? Ma asankishtaha is given as ma sankishtaha. Okay. Evam, in this manner, ma asankishtaha. May you not have any doubt. So, one should not have doubt. Okay, now we'll go to this next. I'll go to the next one. We'll go to the mantra now. Now we can go to the mantra. Now, this is introduction to the fourth mantra. What is that answer? What is that said by the teacher in order for the student not to have such a doubt in his mind? Why the teacher is repeating this here? And fourth mantra onwards is only commentary upon the second and the third mantra means. And in all these following mantras, the second line, the teacher is emphasizing one thing. The emphasis is to make the student to get rid of the doubt he might have had. Okay? Tadyad vacha anabhyuditam yena vak abhyudyate tadeva brahma tvam viddhi nedam yadidam upasate. Okay. After this introduction, where the introduction ends, ma evam sankishtaha. I told you the quotation within. There ends the doubt and the reason for the doubt. Thereafter, ma evam sankishtaha. Till then, what? The introduction to the fourth mantra. Okay? Now, we'll see the second line, important line. The teacher says, Tadeva Brahma Tvam Viddhi. Tadeva Brahma Tvam Viddhi. What does it mean? Here, Tadeva Brahma. Take only one thing. Tadeva Brahma is a Mahavakyam. Tadeva Brahma is a Mahavakyam. You see that? Mm-hmm. Tadeva Brahma is a Mahavakyam. And Tad, usually, we are so used to Mahavakyam, what? Tattvamasi, isn't it? In Tattvamasi Mahavakyam, for us, the word Tat stands for Paramatma. Tvam stands for Jivatma. Isn't it? But here, Tadeva Brahma. This is Mahavakyam. So here, the word Brahman stands for what now? Brahma. Tatpada Lakshyartha is Brahman. Tatpada Lakshyartha is Brahman here. And Tad is what now? Tvampada Lakshyartha. Tvampada Lakshyartha is Tad here And Tatpada Lakshyartha is Brahma. Therefore, what does it mean? You are Brahma. Okay, Tad Brahma. Tad Yeva Brahma means what now? That Tad, the word Tad in the second sentence stands for Tvam Pada Lakshyartha. The word Brahman stands for Tatpada Lakshyartha. Brahman has what? Brahman, Paramatma. Therefore, Tadeva Brahma means you are Brahma. You are Brahma. So, this is, first we had to understand this line. Now we are seeing, we have not yet entered into the commentary on this fourth mantra, Vishankara. We are seeing first the meaning of the mantra. Then we'll go to the mantra, okay? The commentary. I'm just briefly telling you what the Bhashyam has. So, Tadeva Brahma. So, Tad stands for Tvampada Lakshyartha. Brahman stands for Tatpada Lakshyartha. Therefore, Tadeva Brahma is a Mahavakyam. Tad means what now? Which? How? That you are Brahman. Which you are Brahman. Isn't it? You are Brahman means which you are Brahman. That you are Brahman. The teacher says. Please know. Tvam Vidhi. Na idam yad idam upasate. Brahman is not that which you, what now, worship or meditate on. Yad idam upasate. Or people, or upasate again is a plural word, okay? Upaste, upasate, upasate. Yad idam upasate. So, all these different devatas and deities, deities of, you know, different devatas and deities, so, which we worship, yet people worship and meditate on, those devatas or deities definitely are not Brahman. Na idam yad idam upasate. Not any of those devatas which people meditate on, which people worship. May you know Tvam Vidhi. Tvam Vidhi. May you know. You should know what? You should know that you are Brahman. Tad Brahma. Tadeva Brahma. Tadeva Brahma. That alone is Brahman. Which alone is Brahman? That you alone are Brahma. Why he used the word Tad here? Because in the earlier, the teacher has taught him that the Brahman is not available for objectification, not perceptible, because Brahman is not an object at all. Why? Because the sense organs themselves are what now? Objects of knowledge of Brahman. Sense organs themselves are objects of knowledge of Brahman. Objects of knowledge of Brahman. And the sense organs are all sakshyaha. Okay? Sakshyani. Saksham means what now? Perceptible objects. We call it saksham. Witnessed. Okay? Perceptible objects. Saksha vishyaha. Not only the external world of objects, even sense organs themselves are what? Sakshyaha. Okay? Sakshyani. Not only the sense organs, therefore, what now? the Brahman, the one who uses the sense organs, the user of sense organs, the employer of sense organs cannot be, what now, object of knowledge, not an object of knowledge. And what is Atma then? Atma is Sakshi. Atma is Sakshi. Sakshi Chaitanyam. The Sakshi Chaitanyam, the one who is a witness, one who is like the witness, is different, what now, is differently, different from the witnessed sense organs, etc. Therefore, what now? Atma is Sakshi Chaitanyam. Atma is pure consciousness, which is like the witness, and which is different from the witnessed, perceived, objectifiable sense organs, and the mind, and also what? All other body, etc. Body, and also things external to the physical body also. Therefore, what does it mean? The word Atma, the I, the self, is what actually means the Sakshi. Sakshi Chaitanyam. The word Aham also what now? That when you, the teacher says Tvam, which is Aham for the student. The Aham has many meanings. Aham has Vachyartha, Aham has Lakshyartha. So here, therefore the student should remember what now? Here, when the teacher says Tvam, the student should know what Aham. Tvam Brahma, when the teacher says, the student should know Aham Brahma, that Aham, the teacher does not mean, then for the Tvam, the meaning of the word Tvam uttered by the teacher is not the gross physical body, not the mind, not the pranas, not the sense organs, which are all sakshyani, which are all the witnessed objects, perceptible objects. Whereas he means what now? This is lakshyartha also, isn't it? And the lakshyartha is only sakshi chaitanyam. This is sakshi sakshyam together constitute the individual. So the vachartha of tvam is sakshi sahita sakshyam, body mansions complex. And there is a lakshyartha of tvam is what? Just only the sakshi chaitanyam. So here the teacher says, may you not take the vachartha of the word tvam, aham, may you take only, you should take only the lakshyartha of tvam. Lakshyartha of tvam is not the saksham body mentions complex, but the sakshi chaitanyam. That sakshi chaitanyam atma. Okay, sakshi chaitanyam eva atma. That sakshi chaitanyam, the atma is now sakshi chaitanyam. That sakshi chaitanyam is what now? Aham shabda lakshyartha, tvam shabda lakshyartha, and that sakshi chaitanyam eva brahma. Therefore, tad. He uses the word tad. Is it clear now? Tad stands for what? Tad here stands for not the vachyartha of aham, but tad stands for lakshyartha of aham. Because the teacher tells him, that sakshi chaitanyam, that witness consciousness, which witness consciousness? See, the word aham, the word tvam has two meanings, vachyartha and lakshyartha, wherein in vachyartha, saksham, body minus complex also included. So what you should do now? You should not take that vachyartha, body minus complex aspects of the tvam and aham. You have to filter them. You should take only the lakshyartha of aham. That lakshyartha of aham or tvam is what? Sakshi chaitanyam. That sakshi chaitanyam, which is the tvam pada lakshyartha. Look at this. Why that he uses tad? Okay? Tad means that. That tvam pada lakshyartha sakshi chaitanyam yadasti. Tad sakshi chaitanyam eva brahma. Therefore, Tadeva Brahma, that pure consciousness, which is witness consciousness, which is the available as the Sakshi, different from the Sakshyam alone, is Brahma. Not the, is it clear now? He filters again. Tadeva Brahma, that is Sakshi Chaitanyameva Brahma. Okay, Tad stands for that witness consciousness, okay, separated from, differentiated from the witnessed body mentions complex, which also form part of the jiva as a vachyartha. Okay, that witness consciousness alone is Brahma. Na yad idam upasate, nedam yadidam upasate, not any of the devatas you worship, you meditate on. Not any of the devatas. Na yad idam upasate, na idam yad idam upasate. Because it is very important for one to have conviction. One can have understanding, knowledge, but conviction is very, very difficult. Conviction implies what now? Firm, doubt-free knowledge. The student has some understanding, but similarly, there are so many reasons for him, might prevent him from assimilating, ascertaining this fact, because his own doubt might arise because of this, what now, earlier exposure. Therefore, Shankara says, you may not give any room for such doubt. Ma evam, asankishtaha. Na idam yad idam is a very, very profound and very powerful statement. Because why it is very profound, powerful statement? Because it will really shatter, shake all the people who are emotionally highly leaning on Bhagavan. Isn't it? Because initially, when you are totally dependent on the world, there's a different thing, isn't it? Then you slowly become dependent on Bhagavan. And then you are holding on to Bhagavan. And that gives you emotionally you feel so secure holding on to that. But some point or other, Shastram has to help you to free you from that entanglement also. People, the worldly things. And from that, from entanglement, for you to free yourself from the completely time-bound entanglement, so Upanishad has to help you to hold on to Bhagavan as an object. And from there, Veda has to snatch that object from you and say that object, what that object stands for is Brahman, that is you. Come on, you stand by yourself without holding on to anything. It's typically like giving, you know, the three-legged, the walker, the wooden walker we used to use in India. I don't know whether you are all aware of it. You are modern people. Don't know. And then, you know, they had to give for the 11 months old babies are given those. They will give those things. That's a small walker, baby walker. Yes. And the child has to hold on to that and walk. Three-wheeled baby walker. Yes. And then when the 1.5 years and the child is able to walk, and then they snatch it, take it away. Come on, you walk on your own now. Isn't it? Then the child will feel so frightened because it walk by itself. But similarly, Veda says what now? Na idam, yadi idam upasate, tadeva brahma tvam vidhi. May you know that Sakshi Chaitanyam, okay, which is also what now? Which is the laksharta of the Tvampadam. Not the, is it? not the vachyartha, which includes the body, mind, sense complex. Vachyartha of Tvampadam includes the body, mind, sense complex. But you have to take the Lakshyartha of the Tvampadam, which excludes the body, mind, sense complex. Take only the Sakshi Chaitanyam. That Sakshi Chaitanyam alone is Brahma. May you not have any doubt about it. Tvam Vidhi, may you know thoroughly. Okay? And he, the teacher, not only in this mantra, in every mantra also, following mantra, he repeats the second line. Why the teacher repeats? Because emotional entanglement, now to break the emotional entanglement. To break the emotional entanglement with the human beings, with the people, with the pets, with the objects of pleasures is very difficult. And what to talk of emotional entanglement with Bhagavan, with the Murtis and Devatas. Isn't it? It's difficult for a person or a Christian to replace Christ or Mary, Mother Mary, to place himself, his real self, not the physical form. And it may be difficult for a Hindu to replace his Ganesha Subramanya. It's very difficult for a Vaishnava to replace Vishnu Krishna. Doesn't matter whom you are worshipping. When you worship, it is very auspicious and very, very good for one to be the worshipper and meditator of Bhagavan in some form or the other. It is very good. But one point you have to raise, isn't it, from that state, that you have to understand really Bhagavan, Paramatma, Brahman, the reality is not just this form. And not just this form. That Paramatma, Aham Asmi, that is most important thing. See, not this. Paramatma is not this. You may arrive at. But Paramatma, Aham Asmi, take it up, isn't it? Aham Brahma Asmi. Because that is where the solution lies for the problem. Therefore, he says what? Tadeva Tvam Brahma Tvam Viddhi. Tadeva Brahma is a Mahavakyam. Tvam Vidhi, may you know that Sakshi Chaitanyam being Brahman, which is different from what now? Sakshya body mind-sense complex. Okay? Removing the body mind-sense complex, take only the Chaitanyam aspect and know that Sakshi Chaitanyam being Brahman. And he repeats it in every stage, every mantra. Why? Because it is the teacher has to really, for him to become clear and to become convicted, is it? To become confident. Okay. Now we'll get into the next. Now Shankara begins his bhashyam. Yad vacha anabhyuditam. From there, what happens? Now Shankara starts from the yad. First, you take the meaning of the word yad. The first line, yad vacha anabhyuditam. That which cannot be described by words. Okay, that which cannot be described by words. That which is inexplicable by words. But now, vacha anabhiditam. But now he talks from the yad. Yad. So that yad means, Shankara gives the meaning, yad chaitanya matra sattakam. So, you know? Chaitanya matra sattakam. So what is the meaning of the word yad there? Yad, you have to split it. யத் இஸ் ஈக்வல் டு சைத்தன்ய மாத்திர சத்தா சத்தாக்கம். சைத்தன்ய மாத்திர சத்தாக்கம் மீன்ஸ் வாட்? தட் விச் இஸ் இன் தி ஃபார்ம் ஆஃப் பியோர் விட்னஸ் கான்சியஸ்னஸ். யத் இஸ் ஈக்வல் டு, வாட்ஸ் தி மீனிங் ஆஃப் யத் தேர்? பியோர் கான்சியஸ்னஸ். சைத்தன்ய மாத்திர சத்தாக்கம் மீன்ஸ் that which is in the form of pure consciousness, that consciousness. Vacha anabhyuditam, the pure consciousness. Vacha anabhyuditam. Now what is, now he goes to the meaning of the word vacha. Have you seen that? Now this is how we have to go hereafter. We have seen the meaning of the word vacha. Yad, yad is equal to pure consciousness. Vacha. The word vacha is an instrumental case of the word walk. Walk, striling, chakarantaha, strilinga shabdaha. Okay? Walk shabdaha. And in nominative it becomes walk, in instrumental vacha. And the, now he's going to big elaborate explanation on this word walk. Big Vashim is there. Now the word walk also has what now? Lakshyartha and Vachyartha. The word walk has two meanings as well. Then Vachyartha means what? Mukhyartha. Mukhyartha means what? A general meaning. Generally, immediately anybody will think of which meaning, isn't it? It's called Mukhyartha. So he says, walk iti. Walk, walk. Now we have to take right meaning of the word walk. Walk means what? He comments. Walk means karanam. The organ of speech is also called walk. The organ of speech is called what? Walk. Vag Indriyam. Do you remember Tattva Bodha class? Vak means, literally means speech. Vak means words. Vak means sounds. Is it? Vak means organ of speech also. So many meanings are there. So vak means karanam. Karanam means what? Organ of speech is called Indriyam, isn't it? Vak, karanam, organ of speech, vak. Then, so what is this vak karanam? What is this organ of speech? He explains that. You may think, why do we need to know all these things? Okay, this is what the Bhashyam, okay? And he is going to say, what is an organ of speech? Look at this. Jihva mooladishu. Say no? அஷ்டசு ஸ்தானேஷு விஷக்தம் ஆக்னேயம் வர்ணானாம் அபிவ்யஞ்சகம் கரணம். எக்ஸலண்ட். ஐ சீ நவ் வாட் இஸ் அன் ஆர்கன் ஆஃப் ஸ்பீச். He now, Shankara, please remember where we are, what we are doing at Rimbar. Otherwise you will lose this thing. Now Shankara is explaining the meaning, he is commenting upon the meaning of the, commenting upon the word vacha. And from the vacha, he takes what now? Nominative case of that word vacha, isn't it? Vak. And the first meaning he gives is what now? Indriyam. Karanam. Instrument of speech. And what is instrument of speech? What is organ of speech? And he defends. He explains here. What is an organ of speech? Look at this. Organ of speech is that which is associated with 8 places in our body. Organ of speech is that which is associated or connected with 8 places of, isn't it, places in our body. What are these 8 places? 8 places from where different sounds emerge. Okay, look at this. Jihva Mooladishu Ashtasu Staneshu Nishaktam. Say Vishaktam. Vishaktam means associated, connected. So Vagendriyam is Karanam, the instrument of speech or organ of speech is that which is connected to 8 places in our body. What are they? First, he doesn't say all of them. I'll tell you all the 8 of them. Okay? He only says Jihva Moolam. Jihva means tongue and Moolam means root. The root of the tongue, which is what now? Top, bottom of the neck. Jihva Moolam. Jihva Moolam. Okay, Jihva Moolam. Then we have the other, remember that? Do you remember this? I had it in, I did all of them. Jihva Moolam. Then Taluhu. Taluhu. Okay, I can tell you. Wait. Jihva Mooladishu. He says Jihva Moolam onwards, isn't it? Etc. Jihva Moola Adishu. Ashtasthaneshu. In 8 places. So the organ of speech is that which associated with 8 places in the body. Isn't it? Place of the different sounds. So what are they? First you can say Kantaha. 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 Then Hridayam. So Jihva Moolam is, can say Kantaha, Jihva Moolam. Then what now? Hridayam, chest. Murdha. Murdha. Murdha means the top of the skull. Murdha, top of the skull. Then Dantaha, teeth. You can say Dantaha. Dantaha. Nasika, nose. Jihva, tongue. Taluhu, palate. 8. Have you got now 8?
7.
No?
8.
Jihva Moolam, Hridayam, Kantaha, Murdha, Dantaha, Nasika, Jihva, Taluhu. 8. Have you got 8?
Yeah.
Have I 8, Peter J?
Yes.
Jihva Moolam. Okay, Jihva Mooladishu, yes, I said Jihva Moolam, Hridayam, Kantaha, Murdha, Dantaha, Nasika, Jihva, tongue,
yeah.
Then Taluhu, palate. See, you have to understand the upper part of the, you know, the root of the tongue and the tongue. 8, okay? These are the 8 places. They are associated with what? The organ of speech is that which is Vishaktam, which is associated with, connected to these 8 places in the body. Ashtasu Sthaneshu Vishaktam, number 1. Okay? Next. And the organ of speech is that which is Agneyam. Agneyam. Agneyam, but that which has Agnihi as the Devata. Agneyam is what? That which has fire as the Devata. the presiding deity of the organ of speech is Agnihi. So he say he gives detail. What is organ of speech? Why should he go for details? Vacha, for which he wants to give two meanings. Vachyartha, Lakshyartha. One meaning is what now? Organ of speech. And what is organ of speech? He tells us now. That we associated with eight places of utterance. Then, that which has Agni Devata as Agni as the Devata. That which has Agni as the presiding deity is called Agneyam. Then later on, Varnanam Abhivyanjakam, third meaning. Okay, three meanings he gives for that. What is organ of speech? He gives three explanations for that. Varnanam Abhivyanjakam. Varnanam Abhivyanjakam means that where through which the sounds manifest. Abhivyanjakam means manifester of sounds. The one who manifests, that which manifests the sounds. Abhivyanjakam. And here, Varnaha means sound. What are the sounds? Varnaha means sound, and sound is what? Letters. Okay, and letters constitute the words, and words constitute the sentences. Okay, so Varnanam Abhivyanjakam means that which manifests the sounds. That wherein the sounds manifest. Through which sounds manifest is Abhivyanjakam. The three use. See, Vak iti, say now. Vagiti. Jihva Muladishu. Ashtasu Sthaneshu. Vishaktam. Vagiti jihva muladish vashtasu sthaneshu vishaktam. Okay, next meaning is what? Agneyam. So that for whom the presiding deity is fire, Agnihi. Third one, Varnanam Abhivyanjakam is Karanam. Karana means instrument, okay? Instrument or what now? Organ of speech. Varnanam Abhivyanjakam means that which manifests the sounds. Now, you know very well, which we don't need to do, he says, it's one meaning. Okay. The next meaning is what? What is the next meaning of the word walk? Second meaning of the word walk. First meaning of the word walk is organ of speech. And what is that organ of speech? To understand, he gave three different meanings, three different explanations. All the meanings, three different explanations he gave. Then, next meaning. Varnaha cha artha sanketa parichinna. Yetavantaha Yevam krama prayuktaha Ityevam Tade Abhivyange shabdaha Padam Vak Ityuchyate. Now next to me, what is Vak? What is said to be walk? Now again explains. Now walk is that. The word is walk is that. Even the sounds themselves, not only the organ of speech, but the very sounds which emerge, which manifest through the organ of speech. Those sounds. Sounds means what? What are the sounds? No, the sounds. And the sounds which constitute, which form the letters. Okay, the letters which constitute the words. And the word which form the sentences. Okay. And all of them are what now? The word, walk also means sounds, letters, words and sentences. Speech. So, organ of speech and speech. What is speech now? Speech consists of sentences, which are constitution of words, which are constitution of letters, which are nothing but constitution of emerged sounds. So, walk also means speech. Organ of speech as well as speech. He could have easily told us speech and organ of speech. I got it. Okay. Now he is going to explain what is that word, padam. First he explains what is padam. What do you say now? Oh, letters and the verb which is constitution of the letters and the sentences. All of them are meant by the word vak, which is speech. Speech, isn't it? Therefore, now he explains what is a word. What is a word? What's the word? Padam is speech. Padam is walk. What is padam? He is going to say it very clearly. Here again what now? See the word is that wherein the number of letters, stipulated number of letters. Okay. The word is that which consists of stipulated number of letters in stipulated order. Word is that which consists of stipulated number of letters in stipulated order. Got it? Why? You can't just say anything anywhere. Isn't it? And he says here, in this context, I want to stop and tell you a little bit. In Sanskrit, why is look at this. In Sanskrit language, the phonetics is actually the most perfect samskritam, samyak kritam, perfectly done. All the sounds are what in keeping with the phonetics is complete and perfect. That means for everything there's a sound. There's a proper place and the sounds are there. They say kantyaha. You know, kantyaha, all those sounds. We say this. Akuha visarjaniyanam kantaha. Ichu yashanam taluhu. Ritulatanam murdha. Ritulatanam na dantyaha. Upu padmanyanam. Oshtav. We have every place is there. So all the letters are there. So there is no confusion there. That means they are perfectly presented. He wants to say that. Therefore, a word is that, not only the word, language itself is very perfect here. We don't have problem like a put, put and cut. Why cut, why put, why not cut? Why not put? Isn't it? P-U-T, Swamiji says so. P-U-T, put. But C-U-T, cut. Why not put? Why not cut? Isn't it? There we had to see the same thing. The proper thing is not there. Isn't it? Add addition. Same A you have to use. But A has to be used for A. Addition. Isn't it? So, such first problems are there. Isn't it? The phonetics. Whereas the perfect thing is then Sanskritam. So, like this, you want to say, the stipulated number of words and stipulated order that which consists of is what is called padam. And what first he wants to say? Varnaha cha. Varnaha means very sounds. The word vak means what now? Sounds. And artha sanketa parichinnaha. Artha sanketa parichinnaha means they are, how they are put together, you know, in order to convey the correct meaning. Because sometimes a dog and God, same spelling, but put in different order, indicate different meanings. Isn't it? Same sounds. What now? Therefore, put in stipulated number of word letters, isn't it? I had doubt comes, American English or Indian English? Not English, English English, British English. Nowadays in India we can write both spellings because we are non-English people. Okay, Indian. So which English should write? We are allowed to write any English. But even now, if you have to get a good marks in English language, you have to write only British English. This English. This is not American English, isn't it? But still like that. I mean, the spells vary. Here, no. You have no proper spelling and the words are the proper order. You, isn't it? God can become dog if you change the order. What he says, a word is that which consists of stipulated number of letters in stipulated order is the word. That's what he says here. Yetavantaha, yetavantaha, these many letters alone. Yetavantaha, these many letters. Yevam krama prayuktaha, this is how the letters should be placed. These are the numbers, these are the letters. These are the letters, and these letters should be placed only like this. You can't put differently. Yevam krama prayuktaha. Iti evam tade abhivyangya shabdaha. Tad abhivyangya shabdaha means what now? Tade abhivyangya shabdaha means this is actually the word, and in keeping with that, suppose what in keeping with what is indicated by the word. Abhivyanjanam is another word for abhivyangya, means what now? That which indicates a given object. A word is that which consists of stipulated number of letters and placed what now? In stipulated order, which conveys also the correct meaning. For example, now we can say, when you say every word, suppose when you say Ramaha, or Krishnaha, Vrikshaha, Griham, Margaha. In every word, there are letters. And which letter should be placed where? In any English language also, isn't it? Therefore, that is Varnaha. Varnaha, we have now a specific number of specific alphabets, alphabetic letters, uttered in specific order. And determined by a designated meaning. Is it a specific number of letters placed in specific order, determined by a specific designated meaning, is called a word. Have you got meaning, you know? A word. What's the word? Yetavantaha. Varnaha. Varnaha means a letter. Vaetavantaha varnaha. Yevam krama prayuktaha. These many number of letters used in this manner indicating give this particular object is called what? Padam. That particular word is called vak. Now, vak is nothing but what now? A group of letters. It's a group of letters. And with what now? We have seen this. So, these are the two meanings now. Vak means speech. And vak means organ of speech. Organ of speech and the speech uttered through the organ of speech. Both meanings are there for here. Vak. Padam vak iti uchyate. Now we go to next meaning now. Akarovai.
Akarovai.
Sarva.
Sarva.
Vak.
Vak.
Sa.
Sa.
Yesha.
Yesha.
Asya.
Asya.
Sparshantastha.
Sparshantastha.
Ushmabihi.
Ushmabihi.
Vyajyamana. Bahvi, nanarupa,
nanarupa,
bhavati,
bhavati,
iti,
iti,
shrutehe,
shrutehe.
Okay. Now, Shankara says, now, actually what we are going to understand, what finally what we have to arrive at is, that Brahman, what Brahman, that Brahman is, the absolute reality Brahman is none other than the Atma, the Sakshi Chaitanyam, exclusive of the body, mind, sense complex. Isn't it? Is Atma. And that consciousness is Vacha Anabhyujitam. It is indescribable through words. Why it is cannot be described, why it cannot be explained, why it is inexplicable for that. Now we are understanding very what the word, what the thing called word means, walk means, isn't it? And here for which Shankara gives two different meanings. One is vagindriyam and speech, walk, organ of speech and the speech. And there he explained what is Vagindriyam. Then now he has come to Vak also. Isn't it? Vak speech means what? Speech is that which consists of sounds, letters, words and sentences. So what is a word then? A word alone has speech. Vak means a word. A word is that which has what now? A specific number of sounds and which is proper, put in proper specific order and indicating a specific object is a word. Explained. And here the doubt comes for the student. Doubt hasn't come. He asked the doubt. Are these sounds created or they are eternal? Sounds are eternal or time bound. Sounds are created or time bound. Are you listening? Okay. That's why I guess to go to now. He's going to talk about Omkara now. Before I have to explain this. The doubt comes, the teacher, student might think, what now? Yes, sounds are, isn't it? Sounds are uttered through, what now? Manifest through this organ of speech. Therefore, the sounds have beginning and sounds have an end. When I do not utter a word, there is no sound. When I utter a word, there is a sound. And when I close my mouth, then the sound ends. Therefore, what now? Sound is time bound. sound has a beginning, a sound has a, sound is a word, word is nothing but constitution of sounds. What now? Sound has beginning and end. Words have beginning and end. Because when they are uttered, when it says sound has a beginning, I mean the words have beginning and end. When they are uttered, they have beginning. And when the organ of speech is not used, then sounds are not there. They come to an end. Therefore, they are what now? They are not. What are they then? And here, the teacher has to say no. He has to say no. Sounds are not produced. Sounds are not created. Why? How do we say sounds are not created? Because sounds are already there. Sounds are not created or produced. They are already there. Where are they? They are always there. They are everywhere there. As what now? Because space, sound is the attribute of space. And space is always there. Everywhere there. Therefore, whenever the sounds are already there, in space. Sounds are already there in space. They are produced by the organ of speech. Always space is everywhere. Space is everywhere. Therefore sounds are there, very much there. But only the sounds which are there already in space, they are unmanifest, they are avyakta shabdaha, when the organ of speech is not used. The sounds are unmanifest when the organ of speech is not used. When the organ of speech is used, sounds become manifest. You get it? Sounds become manifest. That is why the organ of speech is said to be what now? Not the shabda utpadakam, but shabda vyanjakam. Utpadakam means what? If the producer, organ of speech is not the producer of sounds, organ of speech is only the manifester of sounds. Got it? Natu utpadakam parantu abhivyanjakam. That through which the sounds manifest is called abhivyanjakam. That which produces sound is called utpadakam. But organ of speech, is it utpadakam or abhivyanjakam? Is it the producer or is it the manifester? Not the producer. Why? Producer means the sounds should not have been there earlier. Then the organ of speech has to produce the new sounds. No. Sounds are already there as part and parcel of the space. All the sounds are there. All the sounds are already there as part and parcel of the space. And when the organ of speech is not used, when you are not uttering the word, you are not uttering, then sounds are avyakta rupena santi. They are unmanifest. But when do they become manifest? When the organ of speech is used, they become manifest. So, this organ of speech is only manifesting medium for the sounds, not the producer. See, from here he has to help us arrive at what? Something different. Okay. Now, how to know the sounds are not produced? Sounds are only manifest. Sounds only become manifest through the organ of speech. They are not produced. How to know that? for which Shankara quotes from the Veda itself. What is his authority for you to say the sounds are not produced, they only become manifest through the organ of speech? For which Shankara quotes, Akarovai.
There
is no Purupaksha, but explanation. See, suddenly he goes to Akarovai. But why he talks about Akarovai, I wanted to tell you this. You got the point what I'm saying? It's a very important lesson. Akarovai. Sarva. Vak. Okay. Akarovai sarva vak. Akarovai sarva vak. Sarva vak means all speech, all the words, all the words of all the languages are what now? Are in Om. So Om is indicated by here. Here, this is a quotation from Aitareya Brahmanam. He goes somewhere, he takes his note. Aitareya Brahmanam. So, Akarovai Sarvavak. See, Sarva is a feminine gender word, adjective, because the word is a feminine gender word. Akaraha here stands for Omkaraha. Akaraha here stands for Omkaraha. And Omkara is indeed what now? Indeed, all constitution of all the words. In fact, you will get indirectly the meaning of the word Om here. Mm-hmm. One of the meanings of Omkara will get here in this context. Sa Yesha, say no?
Sa Yesha.
Asya.
Asya.
Shrimamanga. Sa Yesha. Asya. Sparsha. Antastha. Ushmabihi. Vyajyamanaha. Bahvi. Nana Rupaha. Sorry, Nana Rupa. Bhavati. Iti. Shrutehe. So Shruti says, it is Shrutehe, this is a statement of, the Shrutihi. Shrutehe Vakyam. Here is a statement of the Shrutihi, wherein it is said that Omkaraha stands for all the sounds, all the speech, one sound, okay? One word, walk, one work. Omkaraha is one word, and which stands for what now? All words. And what are all the words here? Means which is all the words are nothing but constitution of all, not only the words, all the sciences, secular sciences and the sacred sciences. And all the secular and sacred sciences are what? Nothing but constitution of various sentences. All those sentences are what? Constitution of varieties of word, number of words. And all those words are what? Constitution of letters. Letters are what? Sounds. All those sounds are what? Om. So what is Om? Om sound, all the sounds means what? He is going to say now. Sa Yesha. Okay, that one word. Sa Yesha Om Vak. Okay, Vak. Sparshaha. Sparshaha means all the five groups. We are going to see all the 54 alphabets now. All the alphabets. Sparshaha is equal to 25. Kavargaha. Ka, kha, ga, gha, nga. Cha, cha, ja, jha, nga. Ta, tha, da, dha, na. Ta, tha, da, dha, na. Pa, pa, ba, ba, ma. All the 25 are called Sparshaha. Now, Sparshaha, they are called Sparshaha because something I say a touch. All what now? Cause these sounds are caused by what now? Touch of something with something, isn't it? Therefore, the kantyaha, talavyaha, dantyaha, murdhanyaha. Okay? So, all of them we can know. Like, so all of them together, 25, let us record, sounds are 25 sounds constitute what now? Sparshaha. Then, antasthaha. Antasthaha means what? Semi-vowels, which are neither vowels nor consonants. Semi-vowels, yara lava. Yara lava, semi-vowels. They are known in Sanskritam, what are they called? Antasthaha. Okay, antasthaha. You have to remember why Shankara is talking about this now. Shankara says, all the sciences of the entire world, any secular knowledge, any sacred knowledge, the Vedic also, nothing is outside of sentences, okay? And sentences are nothing but constitution of words. Words are a constitution of sounds. Sounds are not outside of om. And what is om? Om conserves how many sounds now? He says, sparshaha, 25 letters. Okay? Kavarga, chavarga, tavarga, tavarga, pavarga, and pancha, is it? 25 letters. Pretty has already taught you, Sarkulama. You have learned sparshaha. I am very happy to know that you know what is sparshaha now. Okay. Then antastaha. Antastaha means what now? In between. In between vowels and consonants are what are semi vowels. Then in Sanskritam antastaha yara la ba. Then ushma bihi. Ushma. Ushma means what? Ushma means with that which has a hissing sound is called ushma. In Sanskrit, in English we call them sibilants. What are they now? Sha, sha, sa. Sha, sha, sa. Are the sibilants. Okay? Ushma. Varnaha. Ushma bihi vyajyamanaha. So through all these letters, look at this now. Vak is that which, what now? Vak is nothing but that which expresses itself, isn't it? Manifests through all these sounds, and that vyajyamana, abhivyajyamana, vyajyamana. Vyajyamana means what now? Expressing, manifest. Okay, through all of them, manifest. And that's vak. Vak is that which manifests through all these sounds. Okay, manifest as all these sounds. And that speech is bahvi. Bahvi means what now? Many. Okay, bahvi. See, because it's singular, Randiji. Bahvi is a singular word. Because vak is a singular word. That's why. Bahvi, various and variety, isn't it? Nana rupa. The speech is of various forms and variety. Different types and various forms and variety of speech. Bhavati. Okay? Nana rupa bahvi bhavati. Vak is that which is of various types and varieties of things and which expresses itself through these, you know, sparshaha, ushmabihi, sparsha, antastha, ushmabihi, vyajyamana, vak. That which is manifest through these sounds. That is speech. Okay, that means what? The sounds are not produced by the organ of speech. They only become manifest through the organ of speech. Okay? Vak or the speech is nothing but not the one which is produced by the organ of speech, but manifest through the organ of speech. And manifest through what? Manifest in the form of all these sounds. What sounds? Sparshaha, antastaha, ತಾಲ ಊಷ್ಮ ಉಷ್ಮಾಣ ಇತಿ ಶ್ರುತೇ. ಓಕೆ, ದಿ ಕೋಟ್ಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಐತರೇಯ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣಂ ಟು ಸೇ ಕಮ್ ಆನ್, ಐ ಆಮ್ ನಾಟ್ ಸಿಂಪ್ಲಿ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಒನ್ ಶು ಕೋಟ್ ವೇದ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಆಥೆಂಟಿಕ್ ಸೋರ್ಸ್. ವೇದ ಸೇಸ್ ದಿಸ್, ಸೌಂಡ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟೆಡ್. It means what? The total word is expression of knowledge. You have subtle point. What subtle lesson you have to derive here? Word is expression of knowledge. Manifest knowledge is word. Which is the total knowledge is not created, manifest. Knowledge only becomes manifest, not created. Beautiful, isn't it? You get it? It's another lesson, okay? It is not a part of this lesson, but we are deriving some other lesson from this. If words are unproduced, uncreated, only manifest means that which is the objects and things which are indicated by the words are also uncreated. Okay? Only they also become manifest. These are the subtle corollaries you have to derive from this lesson. Now he goes to next one. And what are those sacred sciences which are within the realm of this speech? Om, isn't it? He's going to say that now. Mitam amitam. Mitam amitam. The word mitam and amitam, instead of using simple words, Shankara uses tough words here. Mitam is another word for Rigveda. Amitam is another word for Yajurveda. Mitam means Rig and Amitam means Yajurveda. Stands for Yajurveda. Why Rig is called Mitam? Why Yajur is called Amitam? Let me tell you this and then stop. I stop with this. I won't go ahead with this. Because Mitam means measured. See, the mantras of the Rigveda are metrical order. They were measured. The number of words, number of sounds are measured and present in the measured order. It was called mitam, metrical order. Metrical. And Yajurveda is prosaic. Therefore, what now? Prose. Therefore, nothing is in metrical order. This is amitam. That's the meaning. As is a very beautiful explanation is going to come, I think I'll stop here. So that because then it will go on. I will not feel like stopping. Have you got it? I repeated many times today purposely so that you get what exactly. See what Shankara says, and Shankara's commentary on the mantra begins with his introduction to that mantra. Why teacher is presenting the fourth mantra at all? And in every mantra, second line, why he emphasizes the one sentence. That which is meditated upon, that which is worshipped, is not Brahman. Brahman, okay? Not Brahman. Brahman is not the worshipped or the meditated upon. Brahman is that you... which is exclusive of body minus complex and which is exclusively the Sakshi Chaitanyam. Therefore, Tadeva Brahma is a Mahavakyam that you have to remember today. And he repeats the Mahavakyam in all the following verses. Okay, we'll see. I think next class definitely I should be able to finish the fourth mantra. It's coming, Bhashyam. No, no, we'll try to have whatever class, I'll ask all of you. I want to finish the fourth mantra before I go. I'm going on Monday, 27th I'm going. We'll try to do it before that. I'll speak to Chetji, Peter Ji and all of you. So we'll, this is one day we'll have and I'll want to finish that. Okay, Ratnaji? I'll have to finish the fourth mantra bhashya. Okay, Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnapurnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om. Now Swamiji told a story that in Vikramaditya's court, there are many, many scholars. Many scholars, Sanskrit scholars. And then Kalidasa was one of them. But Kalidasa was the most exalted and most revered. But generally, people will think, my God, all of them are equally great and equally exalted. And why Kalidasa is always considered the most superior? Why not others? And then the king really wanted to teach this, why Kalidasa is revered. Even though there are so many equally competent scholars, why Kalidasa enjoyed, you know, more reverence? And because he was, king considered he was most revered. And then one day he wanted to teach a lesson. So he and his wife, the king and the queen, they decided to come as beggars. They wanted, and they acted as beggars. And the queen came with the baby, covered with the cloth, and keeping the baby on the lap, and they were waiting at the entrance of the palace. And all the scholars were coming, some the morning sometime, all the assembly was going to be there, and all the scholars were coming, one after the other. There were almost nine scholars, okay, and they included Vararuchi, and all of them were there. And here, of the nine scholars, and first one came, and he saw then this king queen was really truly crying, and he said, she was crying, and she said, you know, the first scholar came as before he entered. Why are you crying? He's sitting in the front of the palace. He could not recognize she was a queen. Okay, my child is dead, and I went and prayed in the temple, and then the god, you know, appeared and then told me one verse, and he asked me, please, he gave me three lines of the verse, and if I can fill the fourth line, and my child will become alive. So I want, I don't know how to fill that fourth line. So I have come here to ask you, your people, we are all great scholars. So you can help me to get the fourth line. If you fill in, I can go and recite that and I can get my baby alive. The first scholar, so he immediately gave a line. Come on, I give you the line. It's the fourth line. He asked for three lines and he gave the fourth line. And then he went, okay. Then the lady went, not because there is nothing she did. She said, she recited the verse, but still the baby did not come back alive. And the second verse, the second scholar came, and third scholar came, fourth scholar came. All the scholars came, and all of them gave different lines. And the ninth one came, really, come on, eighth one came, if I give a sentence, let me fill that verse. If I use my fourth line and recite that verse, definitely the baby will come back. Then this lady said, came back again crying. She recited, but the baby not come back alive. Okay. Then last came the Kalidasa. And Kalidasa repeated the same line. Come on, you recite this line. Definitely you get your baby alive. Back alive. And the lady said, I recited, but the baby did not come back alive. And what he said, if your baby was definitely dead, it should have come alive by hearing the sentence. That means the baby was not at all dead. It means what? Even though other scholars also gave the same sentence, few other scholars gave the same sentence. Kalidasa also gave the same sentence. But what is the difference? Kalidasa was so, he was very clear about what he was saying. Some doubt was there in other scholars. Not other scholars, the previous one, the eighth one. Joho, the teacher did not want the student have any doubt. Therefore, what? Na idam yad idam upasate tadeva brahmat pamvidhi. Okay. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.